And we're going to devote the remaining time on this show, our next half hour, to what's been going on in the city today with transit. We'll delay the political call-in that we had talked about doing for another day. We're going to open up the phones for your stories of getting around today. I told mine earlier. What was it like for you? How bad was it? How did people respond? Was it one of those days where you found camaraderie with your fellow New Yorkers? Is it something that makes you angry at the city, angry at the transit system? Or do you just kind of throw up your shoulders and shrug and say, well, just one of those things. It's a unique situation. Can't be helped. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And, you know, after the steam pipe explosion and the bridge collapse in Minneapolis, it's starting to feel like the summer of infrastructure collapse. It is distressing, to say the least, that the city can more or less be shut down due to really just like an hour of heavy rain. So can anything be done to make it more resilient? We will talk now, as your calls are coming in, with Robert Passwell, Distinguished Professor and Director of University Transportation Research at City College, about how the subways can be upgraded to survive a downpour like this. And by the way, we're being told that Mayor Bloomberg may hold a news conference momentarily. If he does, we will go to it live. But Professor Passwell, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. And I understand that you are not in the city
beautiful Sullivan County on the Delaware River, and we had our storm last night, and everything is moving this morning, a car an hour by my house.
It is lucky for you that you didn't have to make a heroic effort to get to work this morning. But what do you think about what happened? Is this just a freak occurrence, or does it represent something underlying?
It is. Every couple of years, I'm asked to talk about the flood on the subway. And you know, you have a major flood where the rain comes down a lot faster than both the transit authorities and the city's pumps can handle it. And, you know, it's simple math. Water in comes in faster than water comes out. 3 inches of rain that I just heard you say in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. If you get 3 inches of rain in a day, you usually get flooding. So this is an unusual event, and there's very little that can prevent an open system, a system like the subway with its steps downstairs and its grates and water coming in from the streets because the city streets and sewers can't handle the flooding. It really is prone to an event of this level, and knowing the transit authority and its ability to recuperate, by the end of the day, everything will be back to normal. So it really is an event that causes chaos for a very short period of time, but it certainly isn't of the level of the Minneapolis bridge collapse or the steam collapse. It's an event that will occur, and it's unfortunate.
I grew up here. I've lived in New York most of my adult life. I have never seen anything like today in this respect. Every single subway line was flooded at the same time. I've seen one line or another be out many times, sometimes a few lines, a cluster of lines. You well know it. But I don't think I've ever seen a system-wide breakdown as a result of rain like I saw today. Can you think of anything quite like this?
No. In fact, I was fortunate. I got onto MTA.info and just saw the long list of trains, lines that were partially shut down from point to point. They're really, it's such an unusual occurrence that I would guess that it's unlikely to happen again for a long time.
Is it wrong, then, in your opinion, to even discuss upgrading the system to avoid or prevent or mitigate the effects of this kind of flooding?
Oh, no, absolutely. You have to look at what was the level of flooding. What's the next steps that can be done? I know the MTA is continuing to upgrade their pumping capacity and add pumps. The point is you can never get ahead of something like this. And what you really want to do is see what level of investment should you make to at least be able to get through it much more quickly, perhaps provide information to the riders more quickly. One thing that distressed me this morning that I heard on the radio is that people came in from the Long Island Railroad to Penn Station and weren't told that they couldn't get around on the subway.
Right.
I suspect that the new executive director of the MTA, who is probably the best in the business in the country, will hear about that, and that won't happen again. So that kind of information will come down to an energized new staff at the MTA that's looking towards making the system much more responsive to customer needs.
Communications were not very good where I was either. I got stuck at Columbus Circle. I was coming in early this morning around 7 a.m. from Upper Manhattan, and my A train made it as far as Columbus Circle, at which time they told us they were taking the train out of service because of water on the tracks. They told us we could take the number one train to continue downtown, but by the time I walked up to the number one platform, that was out too. But then I was in and out of that subway station as I was trying to get a taxi and failing, and then periodically going back downstairs to see if the trains were running again. They were then letting people on to a C train for a while, but people were just sitting there. The conductor was shrugging. There really were no announcements. I told one of the transit workers I was going to just walk over to the east side and take the Lexington Avenue line downtown. And he told me that the Lex line was out too, but there were no announcements to that effect. And, you know, again, this was very early. This was 7:15, 7:30, quarter to eight. And, you know, maybe they didn't know themselves really what was going on to make announcements. But somebody knew because I was able to get some specific answers from the transit workers. And yet they were letting people on the C in the hopes that it would proceed momentarily. They weren't telling people that the Lex was also out for those of us who wanted to walk across town. So there was a lot of confusion at the managerial level, it seems.
Yeah, well, information is key. And I think one of the innovations that a number of us have been pressing the MTA for years to do is complete the next generation of communication so that at central control, you can know where all your trains are and what the condition of the whole system is at one time and get that to people on their BlackBerries, on their computers, through their pagers. Make sure that you can get real-time information on the system. And these are slow to roll out. Basically, it's the same old story of why is our infrastructure failing so much. We're not investing the amounts of money we should invest to keep things going. And it's a public decision. People don't want to spend money on maintaining the system.
One science reporter I know said a little discussed potential consequence of global warming would be subway problems. That if you just carried out a couple of steps to its logical conclusion, if the global warming models are right, and we really do have sea level rise in the New York area, well, sea level rise will cause flooding underground, and that would require major expenses to upgrade the subway system in various ways to be willing to be ready to deal with that kind of sea level rise. Does that strike you as a real concern?
No, in fact, it's a scenario a number of us have been working on. I know the MTA has been looking at that. You look at the global warming models, and the question is, when will that occur? And they're talking, you know, maybe 30 to 40 years in the future. Now, 30 to 40 years seems like a long time in our lifetimes, but in a capital investment way and the rate at which you can build things, it isn't long. It's time to start planning for that now. What we have to do is really take a serious, hard investment look at what are the costs of the various types of innovations you want to provide. Some goes all the way to providing floodgates all the way out in the water so that the water doesn't surge and come in, to gating every subway station, which I think would be impractical. So there are lots of scenarios that are being looked at. They're all going to cost a lot of money. And again, like everything else, where's the money going to come from? There are answers to that, just as there's answers to where's the money going to come from to maintain our bridges. But the bottom line is people have to be willing to invest in their transportation system so that the rest of their lives can be lived with quality.
Robert Passwell is with us for another few minutes. He's director of transportation research at City College as we talk about the rain and the flood and the transit mess this morning and possibly the tornado in Brooklyn. Joel in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joel.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Did you see a funnel cloud?
Well, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I live in a very solid building, and my wife and I, we felt the house shake. And when I went out this morning, there's a pretty clear line of the path of the tornado, and the amount of destruction has just been mind-blowing.
What are you looking at in terms of destruction where you are?
Roofs ripped off brownstones, walls collapsed, and then the amount of trees that are just down. It's staggering.
You have roofs ripped off brownstones in Bay Ridge?
Yeah. The front where they have the moldings, it's all gone. You can see into the tops of the houses. And the houses that aren't next to each other where there's a driveway, I heard, couldn't see it, but I was told that a lot of those walls collapsed.
Wow.
It's really And I've been surprised I haven't heard any, much about it in the news. But
yeah. Now, you're not the only person who thinks there was a tornado. I'm looking at the website Gothamist right now, and it says, as a reader reported earlier, a tornado may have touched down in Bay Ridge. Funnel clouds were spotted early this morning, and a tornado warning was posted for Brooklyn, Queens, and parts of Nassau County. It says, we won't know if the damage was caused by a tornado, microburst, or straight-line winds until the National Weather Service sends out a forensics team to investigate. But that's an indication of just how unusual for this area that storm was this morning.
Yeah, I spoke to someone from the Park Service, and they've seen more of the area than I had, and they said that they can really, you can see the path, that it came up from the water, that Shore Road is torn up, and then you could see that on my street, the damage is closer to 3rd Avenue, and the next street is closer to 4th. And then it seems to have gone to, up to Leif Erickson Park. And that's just, you know, majority of the trees are down there, and, you know, cars are smashed, and it's just, I've never seen anything like it.
Cars are smashed, too. Oh, from the trees.
Yeah, trees. I mean, a lot of windows. I mean, there's a church that is on the corner of 68th and 4th Ave, and I feel terrible for them because they have a huge stained glass window, and it's all just, it's all gone.
Oh, that's a terrible shame. Joel, thanks for the report. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Professor Passwell, have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, that really is, you think New York is immune from tornadoes or something like that. No matter whether you call it a tornado or a straight line wind, I think it would be pretty horrifying to live through that.
Are you enough of a meteorologist? I know you're a professor of transportation research. Have any idea what kinds of conditions would have to exist for a tornado to touch down in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn?
Well, and you know, tornadoes occur when you have a tremendous upsurge and mixing of very hot, unstable air and cold air, and you're near the water as you get out to Brooklyn. So I would suspect that conditions would arise for at least some spinning of the air. The tornado is just so unusual here that it's amazing to hear about the details.
Even in upper Manhattan, where I live, which is fairly far from Bay Ridge, it was uniquely dark when I got up this morning. It was about 5:30, and I woke up, and I thought it was much earlier. I thought it was the middle of the night because it was so dark. Until I looked at the clock, and I thought, oh, that's weird. Well, it's August. The sun is rising a little later, and I just got to get up and go to work. And, you know, and then, I went outside and realized what an intense, dark system we were in with the heavy downpours that we were experiencing at that hour. And now this kind of puts a different light on it.
It's amazing. So,
here's somebody else with a report. Frank in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Where are you, Frank?
I'm actually in Dumbo, Brooklyn right now.
Under the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
That's correct. And I have to second the story of the tornado. And I was woken up by the storm early enough, and I couldn't sleep through it. So I checked a weather site that I check, and they issued a tornado warning, which completely surprised me. And I woke up my wife, and she's from Minnesota, where they have tornadoes quite a bit. And she said, oh, well, we better get in the hallway. And I have to say that we took a survey of the damage. And the most curious thing about it was that the wind in the thunderstorm that we have here, usually the wind comes first. It's like a gust front, you know, and you get that wind and then you get the thunderstorm. But this storm was different because the wind came after the thunderstorm had passed, and the tornado is typically in the back of a storm. And so I really thought it was curious. I'd never seen anything like that. And the tree limbs and trees were sort of on one block, they were blowing in one direction, and another block they were blown down in a different direction completely. So it was a very curious morning.
Frank, thanks a lot. Robert Passwell, before you go, do you think that might be a sign of global warming if we have such a unique weather event for New York?
I think, you know, I was at a conference hosted by Columbia last fall where we heard some of the most preeminent earth scientists present evidence on global warming. There's no question that we're going through a pattern that we could call global warming, and it's important for people to really understand that climates are changing, and it's up to us and our leadership to understand that we have to really think of our cities and our use of fuels and our where we live, everything sort of about our way of life a little bit differently, and come to grips with the fact that our children and our grandchildren are going to live under climates that are a little bit different than we have now.
Mm. By the way, our friend Dean Memminger at New York One just emailed us a little clip from the city's Office of Emergency Management website, which says basically tornadoes in New York City are rare but do happen. There have been 3 in the past 17 years. Usually they are weak and generally small tornadoes.
Right.
Here's one in October 1985, an F1, and I don't know what the designations mean. I guess
Fujita scale.
And 1 is low, and 0 is the lowest, I believe, on this scale. And it says an F1 tornado touched down in Queens, injuring 6 people. In August 1990, an F0 tornado struck Staten Island, injuring 3 people. A more intense F1 struck Staten Island again in October 1995, causing some property damage but no injuries. Most recently, an F0 tornado and what's called a Gustnado. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Gustnado occurred in Staten Island's Bull's Head and Willowbrook areas on October 27, 2003. That F0 tornado was responsible for uprooting 8 trees and causing minor property damage, and the Gustnado uprooted a 30-foot pine tree. There were no injuries. So that from the OEM website, courtesy of Dean Memminger from New York One.
Well, tornadoes and floods, it looks like New York has woken up to a bad summer day.
I guess so. Tornado possibly touching down in Brooklyn. We heard the report from our caller in Bay Ridge about roofs even being torn off brownstones in at least a few cases. And Robert Passwell, University Transportation Research Director at City College, thanks so much for joining us
today.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If the mayor holds his news conference in the next few minutes, we will, of course, carry that live. Otherwise, back to your phone calls, your experiences of the weather and the commute this morning. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We were looking for another crowdsourcing project, right? How to use you, our listeners, in committing a group act of journalism. Here it is. What's going on? 212-433-9692.